And we're at a secret impromptu rally in Lethbridge that they just created literally overnight.
Hey, Chris.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm Michelle.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I have to get a picture with you for my mom because she absolutely loves you.
That's okay.
And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't. She texts me that you were looking for people to contact you to come here today.
Yeah. Because I had a lot of people ask me to come here today, so I said, I'm going to come here.
So I got the word spread. And
she was speaking at Pastor's Church.
Oh, you did? From Calgary. I'm in my other hometown of Lethbridge.
Hey, soul man, Chris. Appreciate your hard work.
Right here at the Japanese garden with Chris Guy. And here's his, here's one of Chris's biggest fans. Say your name for the camera.
John,
yes.
Not too bad. So you got
and I love Lethbridge.
I never thought you'd come to Lethbridge. Like,
well, a lot of people were asking me, so I was just out. I wasn't too far away. So I said, why not?
Welcome to our protest. Awesome, man. You rock. Thank you so much for coming.
How you doing?
Doing really good.
Good, good.
No risk of dying. It's all risk. And without further ado, thank you very much, Chris Guy, for putting this on your itinerary. And obviously Chris needs no introduction, but I called him
a brilliant satirist
who is known for a sleuthing of the dark, diabolical deeds of the coronavirus devils.
Here
he goes. Very true, this is very true. Hello, everybody. So, I wasn't even scheduled to come to Lethbridge. Oh, it was perfect timing. Everything happens for a reason. So, yeah. The tour was basically supposed to end yesterday, but then a lot of people started messaging me saying, hey, you guys are in Calgary, why don't you come up to Lethbridge? There's a lot of people that want to see you. So, I said, why not? And here we are. So I don't know how long you guys have been following me, how much you know how it's long the journey has been to get here, but I tried originally to come to Edmonton and Calgary way back in April, and that's when I found out that I was put on the no-fly list. So that made me get a little bit fire under my ass, and I decided I was going to drive. So we started the United Noncompliance Taking Action Tour, which turned into the Freedom Convoy Tour when I got to Vancouver, and I got joined by about 50 other vehicles on our ride back to Toronto, ending off in Montreal with 300,000 Canadians marching in solidarity and all ready to just say. We made a lot of progress since then. We declared May 24th the grand opening day for our businesses all across Canada, whether the government liked it or not. British Columbia took that very seriously. When I got back to Vancouver on the 23rd, I was delighted to see that about 2,000 businesses had pledged to open. Because of that organization, because of that united non-compliance, on May 25th, the BC government lifted restrictions, allowed businesses to open, allowed in-room dine-in restaurants, and a whole bunch of other things that we should have had anyway. And they declared, this is not even public knowledge yet, that by July 1st, BC's mask mandate will now be a mask recommendation. As it should. Freedom of choice is essential. Freedom of choice is why we're all here. Freedom of choice is why the majority of us live in Canada in the first place. 5 years ago when I traveled around the world, and I did travel quite a bit, I've been to 38 countries so far and counting, the first thing people will always ask you when you're on vacation is, where did you come from? And when I would tell them Canada, they would smile and they would laugh and everybody would have such nice things to say about Canada. And I couldn't deny it. I'll smile back. I said, Canada's a pretty great place to live. I can't complain. Yeah, I'm here on vacation, but I can't wait to go back home. I love Canada. Now it's 2021. If you can even escape from Canada to go somewhere else, the people look at you now with sympathy. I'm not even exaggerating. Go to Mexico for a vacation. They're like, you live in Canada? What's it like over there? And it's bad. We have probably the worst lockdown in the world, except for places like Indonesia. Can you even imagine comparing Canada to Indonesia for anything? And now we're comparing Canada to Indonesia for our level of freedom. That is absolute insanity. We're one of the only countries in the world that have this hotel quarantine. And they pretend it's for your health and safety. And I tell you all, this was phase one of United Noncompliance, and it's not about your health and safety, it's about control and dominance. And the hotel quarantine is the most prolific example of this. Because they try to tell you that you're safer and healthier to get off an airplane, stand in line with hundreds of people, let them shove something up your nose, get on a bus from people from all over the world, and get into a government quarantine facility with people from all over the world, wait a day, get a negative test result, and then quarantine at your home alone. Versus getting off the plane and going home by yourself and quarantining at home. Obviously, you're safer in number two. But obviously, if you want to scare the hell out of somebody, if you want to completely dominate them, and you want to traumatize them to the point where the next time they travel, if you tell them, hey, get your little vaccine passport, we're not going to throw you in a prison cell, guess what? The majority of Canadians will comply and go get that vaccine. And that's what this is all about. They want you to get the vaccine so they can get the vaccine passport. The vaccine passport is the nullification of all of your rights and freedoms that millions of people fought and died for. And then they become government-granted privileges predicated on you taking an experimental and unsafe inoculation multiple times a year, pretty much indefinitely until they say otherwise, with absolutely no recourse from the government. And they tell you this vaccine is safe, it's effective. Last month, the number one thing I was screaming on my tour was, what's up, bud? The vaccine is not safe and it's not effective. They already admitted that every single one of the vaccines will not provide you immunity from the virus. And they already admit that every single one of these vaccines can keep you contagious to others after you get inoculated, so you still have to wear a mask. So by very definition, it's not even a vaccine. Because if you look up the definition of vaccine, the two key points is provide you immunity and prevent transmission. Neither of which the COVID vaccine does. But if they called it what it really was, an experimental treatment, then they wouldn't be able to pass it using emergency orders and make it legal to inject you with it, with no recourse to them. And what did I tell you guys? I said, in particular, there's one vaccine, please avoid this. I said, the AstraZeneca vaccine. Please don't give it to your friends and family. I said, it's dangerous. They said, don't listen to Chris Sky. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's spreading harmful misinformation. Really? Really? I was spreading harmful misinformation when dozens of countries around the world had already banned it. Our own vaccine watchdog group told our government, do not use it. And then our government started using it anyway. Even after the United States banned it, rather than taking the hint, our government doubled down and said, don't worry, we'll just buy all those doses from the United States that they're not going to be able to use anymore at a discount. Because even though it's not good enough for Americans, it's still good enough for Canadians. That's the attitude of our government. Anything to make money, anything to control you, anything to keep you under their thumb. They don't care at all about your health or your safety. In fact, the sicker you are and the less safe you are, the happier they are, because the more power they have over you. That's why when you turn on the news 24 hours a day, it's trying to scare you to death, literally. If you watch the news for 5 hours a day versus the exact same, if you had a twin and you guys did everything identical, but one of you watched the news for 5 hours a day and one of you didn't ever, which one do you think would be more happy and less afraid? Exactly. The news is so powerful. The media is so powerful. The lies are so powerful. There was a meme on social media that said, you want to get rid of coronavirus? And it had a man throwing his TV out the window. That got censored off of Instagram and Facebook as harmful misinformation. Just like me, I made a video called Vaccine Questions. I didn't make any claims about anything. I just said, vaccine questions. Questions you should ask your doctor who recommended this vaccine to you before you decide to take it. Questions like, has it been FDA approved? Answer no. And the director of FDA even was on video saying he is not comfortable giving it to his own family. But you should give it to yours. Number two, is there any liability for the manufacturers? Absolutely not. They can inject you with it, you can die 2 minutes later, and they'll say sorry, and they'll make up an excuse and pretend it wasn't the vaccine. Number three, will your life insurance company even cover you? You better check, because most say no, because once you're injected with an experimental vaccine where they don't have any long-term safety or efficacy data, how do they determine your premiums? How do they determine your payout? It's next to impossible until they watch what happens to the million of people that are getting experimented on right now. Next, is there any long-term safety or efficacy data? Your doctor will say absolutely not. So then the last question you have to ask them is, then how in good conscience are you recommending me a vaccine that you just said is not FDA approved? You just said that the drug companies cannot be held liable. You just said may void my life insurance. And you just said you don't know what it will do to me. You can't tell me if it will kill me, make me infertile, make me paralyzed with Bell's palsy, as we've seen happen to a bunch of people. But you're telling me I should take this because I might get a virus that has a 99.9% survival rate. It's absolute lunacy, and that's why we have doctors standing up all over the world. And it goes, the corruption goes so deep, it goes right to the blood services. In the United States, the Red Cross made a statement. If you take the vaccine, you are no longer eligible to donate blood. Your blood is considered contaminated. Let that sink in. And they want to vaccinate 75% of the population, which means there goes 3/4 of their blood donors in a country that has that's telling you how they're really low on blood supply. So now they want to take 3/4 of their blood supply away. Canada has a better plan than that. They don't want to take away 3/4 of the blood supply. You know how? They'll accept vaccinated blood. No problem here. Canadian Blood Services says you're good to donate, even if you've had the COVID vaccine. Meanwhile, then they don't know if they're injecting your blood into someone else who's had a COVID vaccine or a different COVID vaccine, and they don't even tell you not even to recommend mixing those. But it's okay in this case because the Canadian government said so. And we always have to listen to the government, don't we? That's why we're in this mess. Apparently, because guess what? The government didn't close your businesses, everybody. You did. And you're keeping it closed. They're not. They're just telling you, you better do what we say, and you're doing it. The government didn't put a mask on your children. That's you, every day, physically putting it on them. Not them. And it's definitely not them putting the mask on you when you won't do your shopping and everyday day. So this is happening because of us. This is happening because Canadians as a collective are weak. You can pretend otherwise. You can pretend we're this big, strong country full of patriotic people. Really? No. That's the United States. And that's why places like Florida and Texas are open. Because their people just said no. Their people stood up and said, we're not listening to your stupidity. We're not afraid by your lies. We're going to take off our masks. We're going to open our businesses. We're going to let our economy flourish. We're going to get rid of all the other social diseases that COVID has increased exponentially, like depression, suicide, overdose, domestic violence, etc., etc., etc. Who's doing better right now? Is it Florida and Texas that have case counts which are exponentially lower than ours, with an economy that's exponentially performing better than ours, and with a population who's exponentially more happy and free than ours? Or is it us? Because we're playing it safe, cowering in our homes with two masks, telling everybody else that those people at the UFC event, or those people that are at the pool party, or those people that watch the boxing event live, they're crazy. How could they be out there when there's such a crazy pandemic? They're out there and they're just fine. So what does that tell you? That tells you you're the crazy one. This is why Canada has the longest and most strict lockdown around the world. Our gyms have been closed. 322 out of the last 365 days. What business can survive something like that? Answer, they hope none of you do. That's what this is all about. This is about the transfer of wealth and power. So first they have to remove your rights so you can't fight back. And that's what they've done with the vaccine passport. Then they got to take your money and your ability to make money. So you have no wealth and you have no independence. So now they can control you financially and they can control you physically. So what are they doing? They're closing all your businesses down. Every time they close a business, that business owner that was adding to the GDP is now a CERB collector, sucking from the GDP, as well as everybody else he employed. And more importantly, when they were working and they were independent and they were making money, the government served them as it's supposed to. But as soon as the government puts you out of business and now you rely on the government to give you CERB, which will now be universal basic income, the government doesn't serve you anymore. It rules you. And that's why they're doing this. They're creating millions of people that were once independent, sovereign Canadians and turning them into dependent government slaves. And what do you think is gonna happen to the rest of you? You think you're just gonna be able to get by, scrape by? You have a house, you have a pretty good job, your business didn't get closed? Oh, no, 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 they got a plan for you. It's called a government-insured reverse mortgage. Now, why the hell would you need one of those, if you even ever heard of one? Simple. When they put tens of millions of people out of work, and now they gotta give those tens of millions of people money every month, what are they gonna do? They're gonna borrow more money. They don't care. They're not paying the taxes. They get paid with our tax dollars. So what'll they do? Borrow a ton of money, raise your taxes like crazy, and inflation will run rampant. They tell you inflation is 2% a year. Then they already told you this year everything's gonna be 30% more expensive. And what do you think is gonna happen next year when our businesses were closed all year again? The exact same thing. So within about 2-3 years, we're gonna have such an exponential increase in inflation combined with such an exponential increase in taxes, the average person that was doing great won't even be able to make ends meet. And the persons that were making ends meet up to good are gonna be on the government paychecks. So now, in order for you to continue on living that lifestyle that you've had your entire life, they're gonna come to you and say, oh, we got your retirement taken care of. Take the government insured reverse mortgage. You're gonna get paid thousands of dollars every single month. So you'll be able to not only have the same lifestyle you had before, but exceed it for the next 10, 15 years. The only problem is, once your payments are done, that means they now own your house. And this is going to be their scheme to get all the property from everybody. We know their scheme to take over all the businesses and kill all the jobs. It's just closing down your business and not letting you open it and trying to arrest you if you do open it. So now we know what they're going to try to do to the rest of us. They still have a little bit of money and wealth left. They're going to put you in a position where in order to survive, you're going to have to sell that stuff back off to the government. And that's why they tell you, their tagline, by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. The only thing they don't tell you is, you're not really going to be happy. You're just going to own nothing. They're going to be happy. That's what they put, that's what it should have said in there. Don't worry, guys, not a gunshot. I hope. But that's their plan for you. And if you look at the Great Reset, that's the name of the World Economic Forum for this year. It's not a conspiracy theory. That's the official title of the event.
They canceled their meeting.
They did cancel their meeting, so I think they're getting a little scared because too many people know about it now. Maybe calling it the Great Reset and going on TV and telling people how you're going to take everything from them and then smiling about it and telling them, but don't worry, you're going to be happy, wasn't such a great selling feature. And our government is complicit in this. Don't make any mistake. If you think Canada's not on the exact same pathway, there is an unofficial government document right now. Of course, it's unofficial, but it's posted on the government website. It was endorsed and funded by the government, and obviously posted on a government website. But the very first thing they put at the top is, this is not official government policy. Then you read what it says, and it's the Great Reset 2030, and it tells you exactly how life is going to be for the average Canadian in 2030 under their watch. after they've closed your business, after they've taken your job, after they put you on a vaccine passport and nullified your rights and freedoms and destroyed your freedom of movement and put you in a position where you're not going to be able to attain any wealth, they're going to have a wonderful future for you and your family for generations. Check this out. This is how life is in 2030. You're going to be living in 150 square feet if you're a single person. If you're in twos, if you're a couple, you'll be at 250 square feet. You may or may not have a bathroom in your place, depending on your social status. Otherwise, you're going to have a communal one on your floor. You're going to live in a giant complex where not only do you live, 80% of you will work from home. That's why they're training you to do that now. You'll shop there for your groceries. You'll shop there for your clothes. You'll go to Starbucks there. You'll meet your friends there. You'll virtually do everything you have to do within this building complex. So you virtually never have to leave. Why? Because you couldn't leave really if you wanted to. Because if you're one of those people that's even fortunate enough to have a job that's not in your complex, you're going to go to get ready for work. You're going to go outside. You're not going to go to the underground parking lot and jump in your wonderful little convertible like we see driving by here. No. You're not going to have a car. The cars are going to be for the very wealthy. The average, the 99%, all the people that are complying with everything going on right now, you're going to walk outside and you're going to see a line of e-bikes. You'll walk up, scan your little barcode on your wrist. It'll bring up your biometric identity with your digital wallet and your digital currency. And you'll see if you have enough credits to rent that e-bike for the 15 minutes it takes you to get to your job downtown. And if you do, great, you'll get on the e-bike. Otherwise, you're walking. And you'll probably be late for work. You may even get fired. If you do make it to work with the e-bike and you put it back because it's not yours, you just rented it because you own nothing, are you happy? You'll realize it's not even payday. You don't get paid for another few days. So now you finish work, you go back to the e-bike stand, you scan your barcode, and you realize you only have enough money to take the e-bike home or get some takeout and walk home. This is the kind of decisions they want you making in your life. And this is the kind of life they want for you, your children, their children, and their children for generations to come. Because that means you cannot challenge them. That means they can make you do whatever they want, and you can't do anything or even say no. That's why we're telling you to just say no now while you have a chance. I represent the truth. That's obvious. That's why they're trying to silence me. That's why my book, Just Say No, became the first book in the history of the world to be banned by Amazon the day before it was to go on sale. They gave me all the go-ahead. We filled out all the paperwork, online and offline. All the information for the publishers, the banking information. Everything was fine. They said, boom, you're good to go. Then they waited till May 24th, the day before launch. And they sent me a notification via email. Said, we're not publishing that book or putting it on our site. And we don't have to even tell you why. Basically is what they said. They thought that would stop it, but that just made it more popular, because now when we go to places like this, people don't buy one copy, they buy five. And when people are buying online, I saw people buying 11 copies, 12 copies, because people understand that this is the type of thing that you read yourself, but you want to make as many other people as possible read. It's like watching me speak, but in the palm of your hand. And it totally dispels the media rhetoric about me going around. I was arrested the day before I came. You all heard about it. Uttering death threats. Really? My entire philosophy is nonviolence, non-compliance, and just saying no. There's no violence in this, and there's no violence in that book. And that's why they don't want people to read it, because they have me painted as this crazy, diabolical villain who's trying to thwart the public health authorities' valiant efforts to contain COVID and protect us all. That's the rhetoric. But when you read the book, it becomes quite obvious what's really going on. And that's why I don't want anyone to read the book. Because if you're someone like us that's already awake, the book will empower you with knowledge. It'll make you more courageous. It'll make you speak out more. And they don't want that. If you're somebody on the fence and you're thinking, should I get the vaccine? Is the government really looking out for me? Once you read that book, you won't have any more questions. And they don't want that. And if you're one of the people that's sitting at home right now wearing two masks, cursing my name, and wishing that we had even stricter restrictions because you're so afraid of life because you watch so much TV and have done no research, if you read this book, at the very least, it will get you to ask questions. Even the most asleep, it will get them to question what they're being told. It will get them to question the motives of our government. It will get them to question where this is going if it keeps up like this. And this is what the government does not want more than anything, is people asking questions. This book has the ability to spark a national and even international conversation at the highest levels of government. And that's exactly what they don't want, because when we put that kind of scrutiny on them, it exposes the lie. Liars need to control the narrative. Liars need to silence opposition. Liars cannot withstand questions. The more questions asked, the more they get exposed. And that's why they don't like this book, because it makes everybody ask so many damn questions. None of them they can answer without exposing themselves. So it is the most relevant piece of literature right now, because we have never had a more dramatic and worldwide catastrophe on our hands. Not in our lifetimes anyway, not even close. And it's not because of the virus, it's because of our governments. And the governments collectively around the world trying to enslave their population using fear and using lies. And that book just dispels those lies, it dispels that fear. And it shows everybody who I really am. The people that meet me in person know who I really am. The people that have never met me have no idea. But if they read the book, it's uncanny. They know right away. It's like they've known me for years. It's like they've listened to all of my speeches, all my talks, and they can read it in an afternoon. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so scary. That's why it's getting translated in Spanish, Dutch, French, and it's going to be made to go all around the world, because we have support all around the world. We're known all around the world. We're streaming right now on my website, realchrissky.com. And that's where you can get the book online, by the way. We have copies here in person, but online, a lot of people have been buying it, a lot. I hadn't even been keeping track, and then I checked today, and it was pretty shocking, actually, in a good way. So it's getting out there, but we need to get it out there more. We need to get the message out that there's something wrong in our society, and the only way we're going to stop it is if we come together. That's what we saw in Montreal. That was a perfect example of what united noncompliance can do. Do you understand the power of 300,000 people in one small city? By the way, here it is. The infamous. Just say no. And just to give you a little perspective, Hitler's book is available right now on Amazon. There's books about pedophilia on Amazon. And there's even a book on Amazon right now called Just Say No to Vaccines. But this one with my picture on it, scary. Why is it so scary? You gotta read it and you'll see exactly why they're so scary. We have over 700 five-star reviews on that book. See that today? I was so excited. I was so happy to see that. Thank you. And I'd like to report, when I looked at the analytics of my website, which I had to create because they banned my Instagram that had about 250,000 followers, verified account, we noticed that over 150 countries around the world have been accessing realchrissky.com. So when I say we're a global movement, you can't get much more global than 2/3 of the world's countries. That's crazy. And that's because everything we're saying not only applies here, but it applies everywhere around the world. London had about 1 million people marching the other day. It was yesterday, right? Nobody even talking about it. Not one media post about it. And if there was a media post, they'll say something like, hundreds gathered in London today. Really? Really? Sorry, guys. Yeah, I can do that. Many talents. But this is what they don't want you to know. There's another thing they really don't want you to know. Everybody knows Israel was one of the first places where they shoved the vaccine passport down their throats. But guess what? It's now the first place where the vaccine passport by June 1st is going to be rescinded. Apparently, the Israeli government did not like the idea of a Nuremberg Part 2. Ironic. But that's what it took. It took lawsuits. It took people standing up. It took Israeli citizens literally making social media posts, crying out to the world for help. That is the kind of catastrophe the vaccine passport created in a little country with like 10 million people. Imagine what it will do in Canada. And we are a hub of international travel. We are supposed to be one of the most welcoming countries in the world. And now we're going to try to put a vaccine passport into play without anybody's admission or and any type of recourse. You saw what they did. They made it so we can't even vote anymore. We can't even have an election until they declare COVID over. And then on Monday, they're about to vote to extend the emergency another 7 months. Something that they're supposed to have to provide justification for every 30 days. Every 30 days, by law, to continue an emergency, they're supposed to have to come out and show you the actual data, not models. And now they came up with a new term because I keep calling them out on models and data and the difference. Models are something they made up. Data is actual data and facts and stats. So now they came up with a new term and they say, our modeling data. What the hell is modeling data? That's another way of saying models and pretending it's data. No. So when they tell you we got to lock down because our modeling data says 5-10,000 cases, that doesn't mean there's 5-10,000 cases. That means that they came up with a model that says there's going to be 5-10,000 cases. And they can make the model say whatever they want. They can make the model say there's going to be 100,000 cases. That's why it's called a model. It's made up. So whenever you hear that term, then you know they're lying to you. And that's what, they're not allowed to use models to justify an emergency. They have to use data. And they pretend like we don't have data, even after over a year. They told you gotta wear masks for a month because the data showed that it's gonna lower amount of infections. Well, we've been wearing them almost a year, and what's been happening with infections? They've been rising like crazy. So what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So the more we wear the mask, the higher our case counts go. Nobody can deny that our case counts were far lower when we did not have mandated masks. Correct or false? That's data. We have data. We saw the case counts when we didn't have masks. Now we saw the case counts when we did have masks. That's data. Not them saying, oh, this is what could happen if you don't listen to us. No, that's called scare tactics. And if that's not enough data for you, we have data from other countries and other cities and other states. You can go look at Florida. Their data will show that the masks do not help. The masks are not needed. Neither is business closure. There is no need to keep our businesses closed. When they try to tell you, here's another one of their perfect examples when I showed you, just like with the hotel quarantine, how if you examine it through a lens of health and safety versus submission and control. And this is a perfect example. You're safe if there are 400 people in Walmart, but you're not safe if you're two people in a woman's hair salon, single mother trying to feed her family. You're safe with the 400 people in Walmart, but not with those two people. This is what we call government logic. And it's not logic at all. It's called government domination based on compliance and based on people doing what they told, even though they know it's against their best interest. And that's what Canadians are known for, being nice, the nicest people in the world. Nice comes from Latin, like most of our English words do. And it comes from naive and ignorant. That's why your government loves you being nice, because it means you can get manipulated, it means they can take advantage of you, and it means even after you find out they've done this to you, you won't do anything to them. What have Canadians done? What have any Canadians done besides complain and make excuses for why they're complying? Am I wrong? I know I'm not, because if I wasn't, we wouldn't be in this mess. If everybody acted like me, we wouldn't be in this mess. This is why I lead by example. This is why I take arrest warrant by arrest warrant by arrest warrant by arrest warrant and all the other bad things they do to me. I'm not allowed to drive right now. I'm not allowed to fly right now. They confiscated all my legally owned weapons right down to a damn butter knife. And they make it seem like I'm some crazy guy going around trying to have everybody killed. When in reality, I'm going around trying to save as many lives as I can. But I can't do it alone, guys. I can do a lot. I have been doing a lot. Like, I don't even sleep. I barely eat now. I'm looking like I just escaped the camp myself. But together, we can do anything. I wouldn't even have been able to get here. It took us 9 cars and a helicopter to make it to Vancouver on time. Those cars were provided by freedom fighters. The helicopter provided by freedom fighters. This is a perfect example of united non-compliance. This is a perfect example of how when we come together, we can literally accomplish anything. The last thing in the world they wanted was for me to make it out here and for this book to start getting into everybody's hands. But guess what? Here we are, and it is. So, like always, freedom finds a way. We will win this fight. The truth, the light, the good always wins. The only problem, the only question is how long we're going to suffer and how much we're going to pay. And I'm telling you right now, the longer you let this go, the more you and your children are going to suffer. The more your children's future is going to be compromised. And as a Canadian citizen, even if you don't have children, your responsibility is to make sure that you leave the country in a situation where the next generation has at least the same amount of opportunity as you. At least the same amount of freedom as you. And unfortunately, of all the generations of Canadians, we're the ones that are on the brink of failing that. And if we fail that, it's not just failing us, it's not just failing our country, it's failing our children and the future of our country for generations. The children are the future. We must protect them. And the only way to do that is to make decisions for them which are in their best interest. Not allow the government to make decisions for them. Now the government wants your children to be vaccinated at 12 years old without your consent or your permission or your knowledge. This is where it's headed. And I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you, and everybody else says, oh, it's just the mask. I said, no, it's not. It's a lot more than that. And this is exactly where we're headed. So ladies and gentlemen, I have to cut this short because I have to go on the Alex Jones show very soon. But we made it out here for you. And we made it out here for Canada. And now it's time for you guys all to come together and fight for the Canada that we know and love. Thank you, everybody. I love you all. And I hope to be back very soon. One question. That's why I made this book, my friend. Video, you can send them to my website, and any of my speeches should be able to wake them up. At realchrissky.com, every one of the events that I go to is live streamed, as we're live streaming it right now. And a lot of my videos, like the airport video, is on there. The video where the police showed up at my house without a warrant and tried to kidnap me. You know, all the goodies. The no-fly list video, all the wonderful things they've done to me. But it's all on there. And anybody that signs up to my website has a direct link to me because there's a messaging thing on there when they sign up as a member. And those messages come directly to me. So I will respond. And everybody that gets the book, please make a review because I love reading them. I love responding to them. And post it on your social media.
Cases. You refer to increasing cases.
Yes.
But those cases are based on the PCR test.
Of course, we all know that. The PCR test, it's for everyone that doesn't understand that. First of all, when they're telling us cases, 9 out of 10 times they're not even telling us actual cases. They're telling us what their models say the cases could be. So right away, that's bogus. Now, if you're talking about actual cases, the way they distort that is, the PCR test itself has what they call a cycle rate. The higher the cycle rate, the higher the magnification. So more likely you're gonna get a positive result. Right on the test. First of all, the guy who designed the test said the test is not even designed for this type of testing, even in maximum beneficial conditions. But on the box it says, do not use higher than a 25 cycle rating or the test is completely invalid. To the point where multiple courts around the world in different international countries have rendered PCR results ineligible in court for this reason. In Canada, because they want to scare the hell out of you and make you think you need to be locked down, they increased the cycle rate on our tests to 40, and it's supposed to be at 25. So that's almost twice as high as it's legally allowed to be to get these cases. Then on top of that, so that increases the false positives by almost 100%. On top of that, anybody who gets tested and gets a positive wants to go back in the next few days to make sure they're no longer positive so they can go back to society. So they're testing multiple positive people multiple times a week, and it's the same person getting tested, but they're getting counted multiple times.
And that's
all you have to see. The cases don't matter because, like we see with a common cold, you can get millions and millions of cases a year. If 99.9% of people that get the cold do not need medical attention, do not go to the doctor, do not go to the hospital, they do not drain the public health resources, so there's no such thing as a pandemic.
Yes. We're short on time.
Okay, sorry guys.
I see people all want to buy, so I'm just going to... Wrap it up,
okay, I could probably do the show from the car. I'll set up a Wi-Fi in there.
All right.
And I'll be here. That way I can do the show, and if you guys are still around, I can still hang out and talk to you guys. Okay? So I'm going to try to set everything up in the car. You guys can deal with Z and him. And if I don't stick around after to sign autographs on the books or anything else you guys want. So I'm just going to do the show quick, and I'll be right back for you guys. Thank you.
Hello, hello, testing, testing. Testing, testing. Coronavirus. Hello. Okay. So,
God bless you and everything
you
do.
And t-shirts.
Yes, sure. So I got to cut this short because I got to go on Alex Jones Live, but we're going to hang out here. We're going to talk to everybody. I'm going to do some more. Probably speak a little more because I seem to have a lot of questions
for
me. And I don't like this morning, so I'll stick around as long as it takes. I'm just going to do a quick little breakdown into the Alex Jones show.
And by Amazon. It's the same one.
Thank you.
Tell Alex we all say what's up.
And, hey! We accept